Amen. What in the world was that? Was that a dog and two puppies, three puppies? Oh my. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the things that are happening around us. And Lord, all of those things that people know about and all of those things that people don't know about. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the deep state's coming down big time. They're hitting it hard too. And Father, we praise you and thank you for getting all of the terrorists out of this country. In Jesus, I'll just leave it at that in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Father, I just ask and I pray that tonight that you help us, lead us, and guide us when we talk about prayer, wartime prayer. And I praise you for it, Father, that this is going to be a good meeting tonight because of the subject matter. It's something that we all need to do, Lord, and sometimes we put other things first when we should be putting this first. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, let it be a revelation to me and everybody else here, Lord, that the things that you would have us to do as far as interceding in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Or a prayer, either way. I'm gonna pray and I want y'all to believe with me. I just thank you, Lord, that that truck is in perfect shape. It's gonna take me where I need to go and bring me back home like it's supposed to in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that the gas mileage is gonna be awesome, best it's ever been. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that it's gonna allow me to be with my family and to have a great, wonderful time with him, Lord, that I hadn't seen in months now. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
I'm gonna pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this time of year, the holidays are upon us with Thanksgiving next week, and in this country anyway. And I thank you that people are planning on getting together, spending money to buy all this just probably way too much food, more food than what we really need. In a lot of ways. And Lord, I know there are people out who there that don't have a lot of their needs. And even just getting a hot meal is something, that they don't even look forward to. That's just it's a real special thing. So Lord, I pray for those, the poor, the needy, the people who have nothing, that they are provided for, God, in supernatural ways and generosity of people's hearts to open up homes or just to provide a hot meal for somebody, and however that works for you, Lord, in their lives. We pray for your elect among them, Lord, that they know that they are rich in the kingdom, rich in faith, and draw people unto yourself during this time. I pray for safe travels, God, for people planning and preparing to travel in the air and on the land, Lord, that there would be good travel. We pray for travel mercies and good weather for people traveling and safety upon your people, God, in the name of Jesus. We also bind up all the works, the powers and principalities over this nation and their plans and schemes, devices for chaos, anarchy, rebellion, any false flag events, anything that they have nefariously or planning their lawlessness to disrupt, to distract, to cause just problems for Trump. I know that the left are really screaming really loud about a lot of things right now because they're desperate and they're losing the battle. So thank you, Lord. We send the angels, we loose them now to bring down this wickedness and scatter them, rout them, cause all of their plans, Father, to backfire and to not come to fruition in the name of Jesus. And however that works, Lord, that they are not going to be able to get away with any of the things that they are planning in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, safety on this nation and all our borders. And I thank you, God, for removing the criminals from this country, the radical hating Muslims that want to take over this land. I thank you, Lord, for bringing them down and removing them, all the illegals, the these lawless, all the ones that they brought in here, Lord. And you've heard our story. You've heard our requests for them, Lord, that they're all gone. We thank you for draining the swamp, bringing an end to all these things so that the plans that the White House has, the alliance to restore and to move along with things, Lord, goes according to your timing in Jesus' name. But everything that's trying to hinder that, we forbid it and we cast that down. And I thank you, Lord, that your timing is awesome. It's always perfect. And help us, Lord, to continue in battle against our enemy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, did everybody get my email here a little bit ago? Yeah, those who checked probably did. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead while y'all are looking. I'm gonna go ahead and play a song. It's gonna be applicable to what we may talk about tonight for a little bit.
I thought you asked me to get it ready. I had it ready.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, go
Yeah.
ahead. Hang on just a second. Let me
I'm
get
just gonna
you.
allow
Okay.
it.
All right, now you got it.
Thank you.
Do. Oh,
might as well put your hands together. Control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back, 'cause this means war.
Yeah, I sent it to your email, Benita. So you should have it. All right. You got it now? No? Yeah. Okay. All right. If you've got that little deal there that I think that came from John Melendi over in Africa, that has a pastor. I think he's pastor of a church over there. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I did read this thing, and it's real good. War in the Heavens: Principles of Spiritual Combat. Has anybody read this before? No. Okay, it's on the blog, as a matter of fact. I'm not the blog, I'm sorry, the website. It's on the website. There's a video posted in the oh, I'm sorry. This is a simple outline of the video posted in the blog. I think it's on the website also. Yeah, Julie and Missy should have had it anyway, or somebody, everybody should have had it. But anyway, it's called War in the Heavens: Principles of Spiritual Combat. And the reason I liked it is some of the things that he brought up in here is something that we lack to do at times. We are not really relegated to spiritual warfare on a, what do you say? How do you say? On a continual basis. At least, that's my experience anyway. And what I'd like to do is just go through it a little at a time and just see what y'all read it with me. And if there's something that you want to question or something that you want to expound on or whatever, be sure and just drop in there. Don't raise your hand just to say something because I'm going to be reading. And Lord, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you bring these revelations out about spiritual combat and how to keep the shield of God around us at all times, that light of God all around us at all times. And I praise you, Father, for giving us this. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have some good revelations tonight. All right, War in the Heavens: Principles of Spiritual Combat. Many of us have experienced various attacks in different areas of our life. We're at war continually, and his revelation explains how war is conducted in the heavenlies. Raise your hand if you're not in a war at all at some point in your life. Oh, yeah, more like me. He exhorts us to pray against the powers of darkness until we overcome them and continue in prayer beyond that. This is an exhortation to pray, fast, seek, ask, knock, so that we uproot every plan of the enemy and begin to take back the spiritual land and territories for the Lord. His teaching reveals that we can be effective as individuals and as a corporate body in prayer. We can put the enemy to flight as we come together for this purpose. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rocket? Sold them, and Jehovah had delivered them up. I shouldn't be that away, should it? Except their rock had saved them. Reckon that's what it is. Anyway, the rock. Oh, okay. Let's go on. We'll figure it out because it goes into this. John said that there is a rock-like barrier in the heavenlies to separate the people on earth from getting a clear breakthrough and to keep them from praying into the Holy of Holies. It is here where the principalities, powers, and satanic agents operate to stop our prayers from getting through to God and to hinder and even steal our answers to prayer. And he says there are three types of believers. Each believer has a circular pillar of light around them. And the first kind of believer has a pillar of light that goes up to that barrier. And when the believer presses through in prayer, they break through and their prayers get through unhindered. And the second believer has the same pillar of light around them, but the pillar does not reach the barrier. They're hindered because they're held captive somewhere, or there is sin and their cover is beginning to dwindle. And when these believers pray, they may feel that their prayers are just praying into the air, but if that believer was to pray on, an outpouring of the Spirit will come forth from within, be released, and they can have breakthrough, however weak and compromised. I'm going to read that again. When these believers pray, they may feel that their prayers are just praying into the air, but if that believer was to pray on, an outpouring of the Spirit will come forth from within, be released, and they can have breakthrough, however weak and compromised. The third believer has no aura or pillar of light. You see the light within them, but there's not any presence around them. And these types of Christians are vulnerable and can be used by the devil. With persistent prayer from the depth of the heart, there is a new power released that reaches above and will extend this pillar and go higher and higher. Yeah, Julie.
I just wanted to let you know that that verse you read, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, that whole part there is, where you question, and except their rock had sold them. Lord had, that's part of that verse. It is correct.
Okay. All right. I figured it was after I read that latter part of that. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
So I'm kind of coming in, after the fact. I didn't get a chance to read this, but so I'm wondering, he's saying, at the beginning of this, he says, John said that there is a rock-like barrier in the heavenlies to separate the people on earth from getting a clear breakthrough and to keep them from praying in the Holy of Holies. It is here where the principalities, powers, and satanic agents operate to stop our prayers from getting through to God and to hinder and even steal the answers to prayer. So now I'm trying to figure out what is he referring to related to John? I've what's is this what's the scripture he's referring to or something there? Because I'm not locking on to where that's at, what he's referring to there.
I don't know. I haven't, like I said, I just read this right before y'all did.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, I have heard other people talking about this barrier, this rock, this barrier before. Satanists, I've heard them talk about it, that they try to keep that barrier up there to keep the prayers from going to the Lord, And they do that by getting sin in into people's lives and that kind of thing. That's where that barrier come from. And as we go on, he may explain it, Pat. I don't know. I just went through it earlier. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was thinking about the same question Pat put in, but I was thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. I don't have time to read it, but to me, here in chapter 6, verse 5, when ye pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, where they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. And, for some reason, there's that verse that he heard you the first time he asked, So I sure hope he explains it later on. I'm just questioning this because we're not supposed to have sin, but I'll just leave it to that, because I'm just not in the know of this, so anyway.
He'll explain how to bust through it, and that may explain what it is, what he's talking about here shortly.
Yeah, because I
Notice.
never got to read it either, so.
Yeah. Okay, three types of believers. There are three types of believers. Each believer has a circular pillar of light around them. The first kind of believer has a pillar of light that goes up to that barrier, that shield that kept our prayers from going to the Lord. The first kind of believer has a pillar of light that goes up to that barrier. When the believer presses through in prayer, they break through and their prayers get through unhindered. Enduring in your faith. Keep on pressing in. Go ahead, Julie.
What was just coming to me as you read that is these people don't have any double-mindedness and they're living by faith and not by sight. So even though they're pressing through and not hindered or they reach that barrier, but okay, so it doesn't happen right away. Well, I'm not giving up. I press on, and they keep believing and they keep confessing the word and they keep praising God. Like there is no double-mindedness, or you're living by faith one moment when you pray, but then you get attacked and you get attacked and you get attacked and you don't get your prayer. You don't feel like your prayer is being heard or answered, so you give up or you get double-minded. That's what was coming to me as you're reading that, Michael.
Amen. You remember the story of a lady that her husband died in the hospital, and she wasn't giving up. She broke through and got her prayer answered very quickly, actually. It was just overnight. And then this other lady that Hagin was talking about, that she left the service of preaching and on faith. She went home and spoke the word of God for 5 hours and got healed. That's pressing through. That's what he said, breaks that barrier up there that they're talking about, because the demonic, they try to keep our prayers from going up to the Lord so that they'll have a place to dwell. They'd come on in here and act stupid, do all that stuff. Unless we keep our prayers up. Okay. There are three, I'm gonna read this again. There are three types of believers. Each believer has a circular pillar of light around them. The first kind of believer has a pillar of light that goes up to that barrier. When the believer presses through in prayer, they break through and their prayers get through unhindered. And the second believer has the same pillar of light around them. but the pillar does not reach the barrier. They are hindered because they're held captive somewhere, or there is sin, and their cover is beginning to dwindle. And when these believers pray, they may feel that their prayers are just praying into the air. But if that believer was to pray on, an outpouring of the Spirit will come forth from within, be released from them. I just added that. And they can have breakthrough, however weak and compromised. That's the second one. The third believer has no aura or pillar of light. You see the light within them, but there is not any presence around them. These types of Christians are vulnerable and can be used by the devil. And with persistent prayer from the depth of the heart, there is a new power released that reaches above and would extend this pillar and go higher and higher. There's two types of prayer. Y'all stop me anytime that you want to discuss something. There is a prayer that appears like smoke going up. It reaches that barrier. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have
No,
just
that's okay.
Rather than put my hand up.
No, I told you just go ahead and speak like you did,
okay?
Because I'm reading it. Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about my own experiences, and sometimes I feel like when it comes to health issues, you know, kind of thing, you know, to attack one area at a time, believe for that and don't give up until I see it, concentrate on one thing at a time is kind of at times where I felt like the Lord has been telling me, rather than it's like you don't, it's almost like your prayers are spread, for lack of a better way of saying it, spread thin if you try and cover and fight every battle at once, rather than me fighting one area at a time until I get victory. But saying that, there's also the thought that, you know, I don't want to give the enemy any fuel or glorify the enemy in any way, or say that you also got to put up this, my thought is that I also have to put up this shield of protection and forbid the enemy and send forth the angels to protect me, that I am not attacked in any other areas that would keep me from focusing. You know what I mean? It's like I have to put it, my thought is that I would have to put this, that a shield up around me, the shield of faith up around me, the shield of protection around me. And, you know, like put on the shield of faith, and I'm not going to have that faith, like where it says there about sin or whatever, if I have any sin. So my thought is, you know, like it mentioned, you know, sin could be a hindrance. But so am I making any sense? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're making some sense. But I wouldn't limit God to one thing at a time. I wouldn't do that. I'm going to go my whole body.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah, I know what you mean. I do claim, you know, divine healing and DNA restoration, and I do that. But sometimes I think if there's a particular area where you're really struggling with at the time where you're really being attacked, like with a lot of pain in a particular area, that seems to me that I would have to come against the enemy harder in that area.
Well,
It's
whatever
just,
works for you, whatever works for you, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like thinking out loud and wanting to know what y'all, you know, some feedback on that or any ideas about that or whatever.
The way I attack it, Missy, is this: is I lift whatever it is that I need, and or whatever's going on, and I'm going to attack that just like that every day until I see some results. And I that's it. The problem that we have is we let something. I'll tell you my problem. My problem is that something else comes up. And you forget about the prayer, and you got this other thing on your mind, da 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 da, and you're not doing a consistent. I'm not doing a consistent praying against that. Now I try to, but there are times that you things come up, and I get distracted from that onto something else. You know, I got people coming in all the time doing whatever. That's why. We need to make a time every day. I think that's the way to do it, is to make a time every day to come against the enemy in your life, whatever it is, and your family's life as well. Their well-being depends probably most of the time on our prayers. So, yeah, if that works for you, fine, go for it. But me, I like to just do it, dump it all in one pool. And get it all out and come against it. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm thinking, well, specifically about, say, what Missy just, mentioned about, praying for this, I guess, headship protection, faith protection around, etc. And maybe, in dealing, with health issues, let's just say health issues or a deal that you're pressing through and trying to cooperate with God in faith to see the victory in that particular thing. But in my experience, not that this is, absolutely true, but unfortunately or fortunately, it's the only thing I have to go with, that battle is based upon trying to convince me to doubt God's word based on that in some form or another. Yeah, and I think immediately I was thinking of, when Jesus was baptized by John and they received the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, was immediately led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he was tempted by using the word of God and refused it by using the word of God. And that battle, even though there are physical implications, it always, or it appears to always be based upon trying to shed or instill doubt in the truth and reality of God's word. In other words, if the devil, can say, oh, well, looky there, look at you. You have such and such, he's got a point. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with that by standing on the truth. And so sometimes I found that it may not be standing on the particular truth of by his stripes we were healed, there may be another truth that I have, that I'm, shall we say, either ignorant of or ignoring, or whatever you might say. And the Lord's trying to bring my attention to that. And now I have experienced a situation where I've prayed specifically, this happened a few days ago, prayed specifically for something and commanded something to happen. And I got the exact opposite results in about 5 minutes. It's because the example hit like that. And I immediately rebuked it and did not accept it, but yet it happened, and the Lord used it to highlight my to highlight my attention on something else that I'm dealing with, and that I will soon have a testimony about. But ne nevertheless, it's all based upon, the truth of God's word. In my opinion, it's based upon the truth of God's word, and the devil in that battle trying to get me to doubt or whatever. Now, that being said, the devil is God's devil, and he created him like a tool in the tool belt, and he knows very well how to use him to put course corrections into our life, and allow us to, to pause and think, and whatever we need to seek out, and to seek the Lord in a deeper way, or maybe in another particular direction. So I just I'll end it right there. I'm just thinking in those terms, but it seems like, the battle is based upon our believing in God's word, and holding on to it, and moving from that foundation to wherever he would lead us, the Lord would lead us. Anyway, that's all I need to say.
Bonita, I went ahead and resent it to you, or you should have get it. If it is it Gmail, that Gmail address?
Yeah, that's the address. Let me.
Okay, I'll send it to you again. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, I guess I was just gonna kind of comment on something that Missy said. I've been focusing a lot on just trying to rest, because salvation comes in the rest, but the attacks still come, and I'm still trying to rest, and that in itself is a trial for me, because I'm like, well, Lord, you're telling me to rest, because I'm asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What else am I supposed to do? I've done everything I know to do, and it's like, I think it's just the Lord's toughen me up or something. I just say he's toughening me up, making me like flint, as I can't remember what that is, make your life flint, so it doesn't, it's hard, as you can't, it's impenetrable. But anyhow, it's like in James is James 1 verse 2, count it all joy. We're supposed to count it all joy, and I remind myself, it's like, Lord, you say I'm supposed to count this all joy. I'm not enjoying it, but I count it all joy. That when you fall into manifold trials or temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And boy, is there a lot of patience being done, right? Let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire and lacking in nothing. So that's kind of where I've
Cornelia,
been
you need to
kind of
mute.
that's kind of where I've been meditating on is those things that's like, okay, I'm doing what I know to do. I know my heart's right. And I ask the Lord, what I mean, I'm being attacked with different things. It's not always the physical stuff. It's like the enemy trying to get me distracted, discouraged when things don't happen right away. And it's what I'm dealing with pain, or I'm dealing with various whatever issues, in my trials. But I know the Lord reminded me, don't get discouraged about it. I'm with you, and I won't fail you. It's my part to hold on, to persevere. I think Mark, Michael mentioned something about being, persistent and persevering. So it's just being able to stand, even though you're being attacked on a manifold, ways, and not being moved by it. And to think that it's like I can't focus on one thing and focus on that when there's everything else going on too. It's like I'm just doing warfare and coming against everything and using the invoking the name of Jesus and calling the angels down and playing, warfare music. I can't remember that. Is it Taryn Wells? I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell, and try to put on that kind of music and having stuff playing, even if I can't focus and read the word because of everything else going on, or I can't even try to physically even just focus on resting, it is, I gotta do something, I can't lie down. I think that was, you can't lay down, right? That doesn't do any good. But so I tell the Lord, it's like, well, I'm doing everything I know to do and I'm resting. I'm not trying to, do my own works here, and I shouldn't, whatever I have to go through, thank you, Lord. I count it all joy. And that's all I'm saying is I think the Lord's just, toughening me up, and so I'm not, the afflictions are, Paul calls it light momentary afflictions that we go through to lose our life, to have his life. And whatever I have to go through and fight against the stuff that the enemy's throwing on me to get me distracted, discouraged, anxious, fearful, worried, doubtful. That's another thing. The Lord just keeps reminding me, bind up that demon of doubt so he doesn't get you to get doubtful about things when it doesn't happen right away. Because then you get doubtful and you're getting into works, or I would get into work somehow and think I got to do more. It's like, no, having done all, stand. Well, what's standing? I looked that word up and I'm like, I want to know exactly what I'm supposed to do when I'm standing. You just stand. Cross my arms and
Amen.
stand, what it is. Anyway, hope that helps somebody if you're going through manifold trials. Thank you, Lord, for helping us all. I count it all joy and I rejoice in you. I rejoice in you. I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead, Pat.
I was taken to that very verse that Julie brought up there about a patience, let patience have its perfect work. Because when you're in the midst of those trials are contrary, always contrary to your faith, always. Always there to test and prove and push and threaten that faith and threaten your belief and trusting in that word and that patience it's that resolve even in the midst of apparent failure or the appearance of failure, that resolve to hang on certain truth, number one, the one that I always hang on is, I was purchased, I'm no longer my own. And the purchaser knew what he was getting. And I go through times of being sorry, but Jesus knew what he was getting. And he paid the price anyway. He did it because he loves me and he loves all that he's given his life for. So I remember kind of came to me one time, that my blame or my the causation of my my unworthiness or my blame or my sin or, ha or however you want to place it, say it, that blame and condemnation was nailed on the cross 2,000 years ago. And though the devil wants me to, pick it back up and say that it is mine and be condemned and everything, it is not mine. The Lord took it and he nailed it on a cross. So, and he purchased me. So I'm no longer my own. So that's one of those truths that I have to hang on to when I'm going through contrary situations, and I know that the Lord corrects those that he loves, and it takes a certain amount of patience within us to be able to hunker down on some of these truths that he's given us. And because he's taking us through rough waters to smoke out all of those areas where doubt may come up and want to a thought or something that come up that the devil might want to latch onto and grab a place of manipulation or something. The Lord is smoking this stuff out, and he just needs our patience to ride through the waters of this turbulent time, so to speak, hanging on to the truth that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ, none. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. I didn't make me free. The law of the Spirit of life made me free. And hanging on to those anchors as he again takes us through the waters of life. And what are they there for? Read Romans 7 and Paul. And the struggles and the things that came up in his life so that it would bring to his attention and bring up this that law of, in my members that is contrary to me and comes up against me, and it's in there. But there is no condemnation. But the Lord will take us through these times to smoke this stuff out so that we can join with him and speak in one accord with him that this stuff has to go. It's and it in fact has gone because he nailed it to the cross 2,000 years ago and set me free. So, and unfortunately or fortunately, patience in these times to see this stuff being smoked out and to be able to, grab it by my volition and cast it out, and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and work with the Lord on this stuff. It takes patience because there's a lot of potential condemnation and guilt and all kinds of stuff that comes to the surface that you have to deal with. And so, again, I think that these battles are all based upon the devil doing the best he can do to try to get us to doubt the reality of God and the truth of God. And so, I just, and this, prayer is, is our link to the Father, to this, to the Father through the Spirit, through all of this muck that continues to pull me through and gives us that anchor that we can anchor down and trust in that relationship and that truth that he feeds us, and the Holy Spirit that he's given us to guide us into all that truth. So, I just, I guess I'm through. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
So that was good, Pat, because what you were thinking there is probably what you probably go through when you're in a battle. And I like what it says in Colossians 3:15, where it says, "Let the peace," and of course, for this peace, it's the dictionary will give you a good reference, but the peace is the two are made one, thus making peace, and that's the course we want to get to. Let the peace, the definite article, the peace, just think about that, of the Christ, arbitrate when that's to rule in your heart. And that's where you want that word written. That's going to give you the relief or the power to say no. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall. These things sometimes get dismissed from you because he's trying to get control over this. But we are also reminded by the Holy Spirit on everything he taught us. So that's our major fight right there, because he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name to teach us all things and to remind us of what he taught us. And you're getting right at the apex of the covenant with that one, because he's putting these things in your mind, and he's putting them also, his will is doing this, not your will. God's will is writing this upon your mind so that you can love him. And he's writing this upon your heart. And that's why we have to let it arbitrate in our hearts. We have to let it rule in our hearts. And there's several other verses whereunto you were called in one body. And then once you get the sword out and you start hacking at this stuff, saying, no, you don't rule in my heart. It's God. It's my Father. You want to take something up with me? Go to my Father. I have a Father. You can't call him Father. I can. And of course, it's always something from your past. I guess the older you get more of a past. But we live in the present and the future. So, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So two of those are a search. And actually, the first one is a receiving right away. And we have this altar to petition the Lord in. And so I want to be like Michael said. I have lots of things that I need, for this body to be healthy, you know. And I want them all gone, you know. They're supposed to be all gone, you know. And like Julie was mentioning, the rest. How do we enter into this rest? Well, you know, we do something and we say it and we believe it and we pray the verse, and then the devil comes back and says, "Oh, he's not going to do that," or something, and then you gotta go through the same sword fight with him until the victory comes. That's how I understand what's going on here, because it's for your very eternity that you're fighting for, but the Lord is with us at all time, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not going to accept that, because the Lord tells me I have greater and better things in this new life of Christ. And I can say this now because I'm ready, but you know, in the heat of the battle, you know, you're there. What can I do? Where am I going to go here? But then you are being prepared for battle with temptation to be hardened, because when you have to stand before any person, it's a little harder. But can you imagine how Paul had to stand before kings and governors and stuff, and he had to make the proper saying, you know? And you don't want to be too forward with these people. Like when Festus called him a madman, he said, "I'm not most honorable Festus. I am not mad." And you know, you gotta control your emotions, I would say, and just to speak the word, and as much as in you is to try and get along with these, if it's another person, rather than it being a temptation. Jesus was tempted. I don't think any of us get tempted. We read about Job being tempted, and it was to improve his righteousness. And that's sometimes escapes us too, because, oh, what's going on now, you know? But an internal battle with something that is being put in your mind and making you think that it's your idea is just someone trying to browbeat you into thinking that you have to accept this. And that's not right. You know, that's what the dictator does. And you can see examples of this in the history, and how some people even suffered for it in history, some brothers and sisters. And again, you know, I think these people who have suffered knew it was their time to go. And just like Paul fought the good fight, he ran the good race, he fought it to the end. And by the time he reached 64 years of age, that, or around there anyway, that's what scholars say, that that he met his end, you know, somewhere, I don't know, around 55 to 60 AD. But, you know, because I just finished the book of Acts, and I suddenly read my page 153 on my martyr's book there. And then you can see on the last chapter in the book of Acts that he's going to address in a synagogue the Jewish people, and he's reading the entire book of Romans to them. And I don't think a lot of people think about that, you know, that that was his address, that he addressed them at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28. And it just came to me, and I went, yeah, well, that's left over from the book of Acts there. And this is the... this was his discourse among the Romans that he got on that wonderful day when he told them. And of course, I don't know how the person ever wrote it down or how it was scribed after, but they had ways of doing that. I'm sure there were scribes there that were saved, and or the Lord told them what to write, and he wrote it afterwards out again. I don't know how it was penned the first time, but he was still perhaps more so meditating on the old covenant in order to get this new Romans book out. But what we can do now is we can go to the Romans book. We can go, we have a more sure word. We have the word after the cross. We have the word that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we didn't love our lives unto death. But there came a time for all those apostles, minus Paul, Peter, or John, sorry, where they were martyred, you know, the original 12. And they knew where they were coming to. For the Lord showed them that they were coming to this. Even Jesus told them three times what's going to happen when you go to Jerusalem. So he was being tempted of this, but at the same time, he knew something was happening with his actual cross. And we have a cross that we go through for these temptations. So this is, you have to have that will written upon your mind to love the Lord, and in your heart and your mind, as the great commandment says, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And these are some of the things you're using your sword of the Spirit for, you know, because and again, you know, at the time when it's happening, you use all you can to get what you're supposed to have, because it is finished, you know. And that forceful thing that and again, it's easy to think of these things when you're not in a battle, but you are in a battle in a sense, because you could be waiting for something. And again, you know, you don't turn away. You know, it says that we have to, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And some people think that this quotation from Matthew 24 is just a single time thing. No, it's a constant time thing, because the love of many shall wax cold. I forget exactly, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. This is a thing that whatever comes in the future, we have to endure in this Lord that we have, who's Lord over us, and our great Father that we have, which is also referred to as the magnificent glory. And he lives within us too, with this love that we have for his word, to obey him, to come into agreement with him, to can two walk together lest they agree. And you know, there's all the other the sword verses that we use that, no, you can't attack my mind here. I remember a certain study that the serpents attack your mind, and he gave a whole lengthful page of stuff. And the scorpions attack the body, you know, and he explained these things to us. I have a note here somewhere on that. And, you know, the mind attack is when you get bit. He even said it, when you get bit by a snake, poison goes into you, and it attacks the mind. It gives you sleepiness. It gives you what you don't want, you know. It's a forced entrance into your house, and you have to get this out of your house now, and in the spirit, of course. And when it happens, of course, physically, there's not too much you can do. So I sometimes wonder why we constant battle, but we're not supposed to give up. And you look forward to that day where you get your new body that cannot be corrupted. And you go, man, that'll be so good that day. No more of this stuff, you know. And but you know, the ask, you know, and seek and knock is all those prayers that you need to do in your battle. It does help to have the reminder there. Now that you heard from the tempter, let's hear from God, the Holy Spirit, that's going to remind us, because we're in His name too. So I hope that comforts someone. It could even comfort a person like me to remember these things, to know that I have these things. I've recalled them already, so why can't I recall them when I'm ready to need them? That's when I need them the most, you know. Is He going to abandon me? Does the Father abandon His children when we most need Him? And it does our brother Jesus, the life that we were told to take part of, does that abandon us? That's what the temptation is trying to get me to do. And we don't want to do that. And that's why it's nice to have Paul's rendition of the armor of God, and also to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And you just come against this nastiness, because it's your job. It's our job, isn't it? But we're not fighting this battle alone. You know, we have to show a good front against it. You know, if it's with another person, you say, well, you know, I have my God. You know, I have to believe what God told me in His Word. I think there is a big problem of people not thinking the New Testament is the Word of God. And because of the mantras and all these things, people have been telling us, and all the different words that we hear all day from whatever, going to work, you know, it was a blessing for me for a while not to hear anything. But then I started going, hey, I'm not hearing it. Hey, you know, maybe I should start listening to some harder so I can do some fight. And it just goes on and on and on. You know, I like Michael, not Michael, but David says, blah, 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 blah. Here we go again, you know. And you're fighting a battle in your head, and I think sometimes you just have to go silent and just, you know. I remember I had a battle once, and I used that verse in Colossians 3 to set your mind on things above and not on things upon the earth. Actually, I used the King James. I just said, set your affections on things above and not on things upon the earth. Then it came back to me with the same thing, and I went, set your affections on things. And then finally it just went away. I won that one, you know, and I just kept repeating that. I'm just going to set my affections on things above. I didn't know it was supposed to be mind. And then I, of course, your affections are part of your mind, you know. So whether that was a phileo battle to get into it, agape or something, I don't know. And because we know in part and prophesy in part, and that's what James is for, and the ASV and the NENT, of course, is the only thing we can do after that is talk Greek to him, this tempter. So that would be neat, to speak to him in Greek. I wonder if he would try to tempt you in Greek, and then he'd say, I don't understand you. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. I think another thing that would help us, it helps me a lot, and that is praying in the Spirit for a while. And getting the Spirit of God in you, asking the Lord to fill you up, and then get his guidance in what to do and what to say. Okay, let's go on here. It says the next subtitle is Two Types of Prayer. There is prayer that appears like smoke going up. It reaches that barrier but does not break through that barrier. It just touches it and meanders around. But when Christians persist in prayer and go deeper and the passion comes in, suddenly comes the second type of prayer, which becomes fire. This fire then mounts that barrier and the prayers go through. Once the spirit within us is charged, come on now, something is released. The fire begins to go up and get intense, and you break through, praise God. When that fire goes up, the rock-like barrier begins to melt like wax, glory to God. That pillar and covering follows you wherever you go. And this will cause you to be very, I'm going to put very effective in ministry. And that's one of the reasons I said to pray in the spirit is essential to keeping your life on an even keel with the Lord. And the enemy hates it because he knows that you're listening to the Holy Spirit as well. He doesn't like it when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us in the way of our prayer life and the whole thing. Once the Spirit within us is charged, something is released. I'm going to read it again. The fire begins to go up, glory to God, and get intense, and you break through that barrier. When that fire goes up, the rock-like barrier begins to melt like wax. Glory to God. That pillar and covering follows you wherever you go. This will cause you to be effective in ministry. Praise God. Warfare begins in the heavenlies. Here's the big one. Beware of distractions and temptations. The principalities summon demons and satanic agents to stop that prayer. They will cause all kinds of distractions, anything to disrupt that flow of prayer. Don't allow it. Many Christians don't know how to maintain that pillar. It is maintained by continuous prayer, unceasing prayer, and continuous praises. It's easier to maintain the continual prayer than to have to rebuild your pillar of God's presence. I'm going to read that again. Many Christians don't know how to maintain that pillar. It's maintained by continuous prayer, unceasing prayer, and continuous prayer. Lord, speak to me today through the Spirit of God on the things that you want me to pray about, Father God. And when you do that, the devil backs off. It's easier to maintain. Here's the key part of it. It's easier to maintain the continual prayer than to have to rebuild your pillar of God's presence. If you fall off, if you sin, then that fire has gone out. But once you repent, come back, you have to rebuild it again. Rebuild again. That's what he's talking about here. Psalms 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God for everything you do all day long. And that's something that I do. I do it. I muttered under my breath, thank you, Lord. I just praise you for making this wonderful day for me. I thank you, Lord. It's going to be a day of overcoming. And just keep on like that. Keep the devil on the off on the defense all the time. Keep him on the defense. Our object is to keep on the offense where we'll be an effective warrior for the Lord. Psalms 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I praise you, Lord, that I'm healed. I don't care what that devil says, what he's trying to put on me. It's gone in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. If a man is praising God all the time, not only with his lips, but also with his heart, continuing to talk to God, listen to God, and communing with God, you cannot stop that pillar. Whoo, glory to God, that's something. Satan wants to take your attention away from this so that you become ineffective. The pillar is quenched through temptation. The devil will do anything to cut off that connection. And the connection is in the heart of a man. Thank you, Lord. I'm reminded, what's the name of that Satanist guy that came to the Lord? And he talked about those pillars of fire, and he talked about the rocks that they, and one of the things that I'll never will forget, he said, when we come across a church that is a praying church, we don't mess with it. We can't mess with it. So we have to go around that one. It's those that don't have this shield on that they can go and mess with and cause division and all of that kind of stuff that they do. But it's a praying church that they can't mess with, and they won't mess with because they'll get burnt if they do. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, sometimes you can have a song that constantly repeats in your head. You know, I just recently copied out "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," and that could be going through your head over and over again. You know, and you're just singing the song over and over again, and it's a wonderful thing to have that because you know sometimes people who go to regular church, they've been worshiping God, and they take children do this a lot. They take that song home with them. You know. And they keep praising the Lord, and it's in their house, you know. And I remember once a person came up here to Ottawa from Texas, and forget his name now. His Johnson, I think, was his last name anyway. And he would always sing that song, "Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock." And he'd do this right in the middle of his sermon and stuff, you know. And he was the first one who came up here, and he said, you know, "The Lord wants to do more with you than this." And he would shake his hand in the air, you know, because a lot of people used to shake in the Pentecostal church, you know. And he would sing that song a lot and tell it would be like on your heart too, you know. And it would be a contagion for you, a good contagion, that is. Anyway, so I was kind of wondering if that's a praising and worshiping and praying and you know these are, I believe, your altar of grace where things go up to the Lord, you know, prayers and worship and praise and thanksgiving, of course, just as the verse says, you know, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And then you get that pass all that understanding in that verse over there in chapter 3 of Ephesians, you know. So, praise and glory to God. I just wanted to mention that. Because, you know, you get a song in your head, and I'm working on the other song there. It's, well, when I think of the title, I'll tell you.
Amen.
That's pretty bad. You know? Oh man. Yes, I've got the faithful song going on. Praise God.
Okay, the next subtitle is Families, Individual and United. Can y'all hear me okay? I didn't think I had this thing. You can? I ain't even got my microphone on. Ain't that special? Can you hear me now? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, maintaining the pillar. Many Christians don't know how to maintain that pillar. It is maintained by continuous prayer. You notice he said continuous
Michael,
prayer. Yeah.
you said you're going to start on families, individual, and united, but I don't know where you're reading at.
What I did is going back over this other back up at the top of the page, maintaining the pillar.
Thank you. Okay. You lost me for
Okay,
a
I'm
second.
sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Hang on just a second. Let me get this figured out here. Huh. All right, so y'all can hear me okay, right? All right, what I wanted to
Loud and
do.
clear.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Hey, man, you just sound just like an old Southern boy. Just then. Loud and clear. All right. What I wanted to go over, I wanted to go over this again because of what it says. A lot of times we've been taught that one time praying is all you need. You don't need to go back and pray again and again and again. I like what he says because he says this. He said many Christians don't know how to maintain that pillar. It's maintained by continuous prayer, unceasing prayer, and continuous praise. It's easier to maintain. Look at that stink bug. It's easier to maintain the continual prayer than to have to rebuild your pillar. Hang on just a second. I got my bug zapper.
That's not in my text, Michael. Is it in your text?
Good. Got it. That little devil. I command these things out of my room in the name of Jesus. I think they're coming through that fan up there. But they're not anymore. There's an angel up there keeping them out. Oh, praise God. That's the way you, that's my bug zapper, Andrew. That's a Arkansas bug zapper. Okay, I wanted to go over this just because of what we've been taught sometimes in the past. It's easier, he says, it's easier to maintain the continual prayer than to have to rebuild your pillar of God's presence. Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, his praise shall come continually be in my mouth. And if a man is praising God all the time, not only with his lips, but also with his heart, continuing to talk to God, listen to God, and communing with God, you cannot stop that pillar. Satan wants to take your attention away from this so that you become ineffective. The pillar is quenched through temptation, and the devil will do anything to cut off that connection. The connection is in the heart of man. All right. As families begin to do this and include the children, a greater pillar begins to appear. Excuse me, to appear on your house. This pillar becomes bigger and bigger as you continue pressing and pressing, continuing daily, faithfully. When we have enough houses like this, the light will yoke up with the light coming from the neighbor and the darkness will break away. When doing our spiritual warfare, we will begin to have what is called open heavens. A house which prays together into the presence of God has got open heavens over that roof. Whoo, glory to God. How many of you want to open heaven all the time? I do. I want all the time. Takes a little bit of work. but it ain't heavy work. Thank you, Lord. All right, the next one. Pierce the darkness, open heavens. The more we do this, the more holes we create in the heavenlies to destroy the blanket of darkness. The more we do this, the more light comes in. The person who breaks open into the presence of God has got an open heaven over his personal life. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Follow-up prayer, backlash, and retaliation. When we pray, very soon, God sends the answer. The angel is holding the answer to your prayers, and the demons don't succeed in closing the gap. They cannot touch the angel, and the angel goes unhindered to deliver your answer to prayer. And when this happens, the demons gather together and look for ways to take the answer to prayer. Armor up daily. Armor up daily. Continue the battle. The demons stop, hinder, delay, steal our answers. Hang on just a minute. Oh, my. Okay. The demons stop, hinder, delay, steal our answers to prayer by looking at the angel that's bringing your answer to prayer. They look at how the angel is attired or dressed. What's he got on? To see if any piece of his armor is missing. Your angel's armor is a reflection of how you are attired in the spirit. Ooh, man, that's something. If you don't have the full armor of God on, the demons will begin to hit the vulnerable spots in your life or where you lack in armor. The way you are dressed is the way your angel will be dressed. If the angel has no helmet, your mind's not covered, and it's a weak point, and so on. When there is a battle going on in the heavens, the Holy Spirit begins to prompt the person. The demons seek to seal the answers. And this is why it's important to pray without ceasing and pray when prompted without delay when the Holy Spirit leads. Begin to pray when this happens. Don't delay because you'll lose something. Something's at stake. We are operating in two worlds, and they aim to remove your angel from out of your pillar. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Boy, I want that. It's going to take some doing. Not a whole lot. Just praying, thanking God, praising God. Corporate prayer, intercession, two or more. Pair up in prayer. Boy, that's a good one. Cover the prayers of others with faith, worship, and thanksgiving. In meetings, if the intercessors are praying and pulling down that dark covering, the presence of God comes upon the whole meeting. Healings and deliverance come much easier. When intercessors come together corporately and press through, they are creating up that they are creating up that pillar around them. And it goes up into the open heavens. There is reinforcement when we pray with others and they cover you. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Confess sins. General steps to prepare for prayers. Anybody got any questions or any comments before I get into this? Okay. General steps to prepare for prayer. Confess your sins, forgive from the heart. Well, that's a given. Confess the Savior. Confess freedom from sin and bondage of doubt, unbelief, double-minded, confusion, etc. Confess you are being heard and have the answers to prayer before they come. Put on the armor by quoting the scripture that pertains to each piece of armor. Praise and thanksgiving before prayer, worship. Bind all hindrances, distractions, the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. I said, good. We ought to be doing that before we ever start our meeting tonight on at night, you know. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask for everything. Ask for the best thing. Ask for the best possible outcome. Did you get that? Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask for everything. Ask for the best thing. Ask for the best possible outcome. And fast. I don't mean run quick either. That means don't eat nothing. That's what that means. And here's some general things to pray for. He even gave us that. Leadership, families, healing, ministry, work, workers, neighbors, neighborhoods, neighbors and cities. Pray for cities, governments, finances, work, co-workers, discernment, spiritual giftings, sanctification, nations, scripture, and God's commands. Isaiah 56 and 7 says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Word. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And then it goes on with a bunch of more verses there. I'm not going to read them. Y'all can read those yourself. I thought it was very telling, Ward, to have it. It actually reminds us to just to keep up our prayer life, our intercessions for our family and friends. And I like the idea of having somebody to pray with. That's a good one. That's an awesome one. Maybe not get together about every day and pray. So I got a good partner. All right. Anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Julie.
Just on that, even if you can't pray with somebody, you can send a request in for prayer, like we do that in the group chat and stuff. And Monday night, I had a prayer request, and I texted Michael because I knew you guys were in your starting your prayer meeting. I think you had just started when I sent it. Anyhow, I was going through a major physical attack. And I was trying to stand, and it was such a, anyhow, it was an intense pain. And I didn't want to give into it, but it was in my hand, and I couldn't use my hand. You can't bend your thumb, can't hold on to anything. You can couldn't, it was bad. So I asked for some help, and probably about an hour, probably about an hour or so after I made that prayer request, and Michael said that everyone prayed. He texted me back, said it started feeling a lot better. And I texted Michael. I said, my hand feels so much better. And as soon as I sent that text, it came back like a flood. It just intensified. I just had to go to battle against it and just confess the word and said, nope, I'm not receiving this. It's gone. And then it left and it left and it left and it left. So even if you can't pray with somebody, knowing that somebody is praying for you is important too. And I know it works. We all know it works. So praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for prayer of agreement. That's what I was confessing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Laura. Anyone else? I believe it's a practice that God wants us to do. I know here I want to establish for each and every one of us. I want this whole fellowship to be shielded, even the outreach be shielded, and so we should be praying for each other, even on the outreach, for each other. Safety, protection, divine words that the Lord gives you, and all of those things that we want. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Yeah, Andrew.
Sometimes after when I have a Bible study, I remember all you guys and I mention the prayer to you for you guys to get what I got today in the Bible study, or even more than I got today in the Bible study and it just reminds me after my study to recall the people who need these items also, that even for the people overseas and any person, who needs to be corrected at that time, and of course, I like to pray for people that are on the site and for the various Wednesdays and just the teachings, to what they get across. So, not necessarily the day the teaching's coming out, I might do it on a different day, too. Anyway, praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, Lord, I'm going to pray right now. And I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers too. And in the name of Jesus, I command these hindering spirits that have hindered our prayer life, that have hindered our mind from believing and thinking that you will answer our prayers. I command, I break the power of doubt and unbelief. off of anyone and all that are listening. And Lord, I thank you that we're all going to pray together for our families. I thank you, Lord, for bringing in my family, all of those that are not in the kingdom now, Lord. I know that they're coming in Jesus' name, because your word is true. And I praise you, Father, because you say when we pray and we believe that we have received, we got it in Jesus' name. And I believe that I have received, that every one of my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are going to be in the kingdom in Jesus' name. And not only that, Lord, I pray for all of my friends here and back in Arkansas, Lord, that you would see that the Lord of harvest would send somebody that would bring them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, it's being done even as we speak, Lord, that you're going to bring all of my friends to the Lord in Jesus' name before it's too late. Lord, a bunch of them already gone home. They're gone wherever they're going. There's still a few left, Lord, and I ask and I pray, Father God, that you would open up the doors of heaven to them in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I lift up my brother that been diagnosed with cancer. That's a lie from the devil in the name of Jesus. I break that power and I command it off of him right now in Jesus' name. And I break that same spirit off of my sister, cancer. You go right now in Jesus' name. And I break the power of not believing what the word of God says off of both of them and all the rest of them too in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that every one of them is going to come into the kingdom. David's healed, Alanette's healed in Jesus' name. And I believe it. And I believe, Lord, when I get there, when I get to Arkansas, I'm going to go see him. And Lord, I'm going to thank you for leading and guiding me to the words to say to them that would change their lives. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Sometimes, Lord, our family's the hardest one to evangelize. But Lord, I know it's no big deal for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe with me? Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else wants to pray now, this is the time. Because I feel the Spirit of God working. Lord, I just come against this Islamic religion trying to take over the U.S. I break its power right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that people's eyes and ears are going to open up to the truth of what the underlying goal is for these people. And I praise you, Father, for breaking that power and getting them out of here in Jesus' name. And the same thing for Canada as well in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bring down these mosques. Not only that, you're going to shut down this Sharia law garbage. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that this religion is a perversion that is beyond comprehension. They love to marry, they're pedophiles, they're perverts, they're murderers, they're all of the above. They assault people. Good gracious, and they'll lie at the drop of a hat. And Father, I thank you for bringing them out of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? I do too. I believe it. I was reading the other day where a 60-year-old man was was going to marry a 6-year-old girl. Can you believe that? That guy's sick, man. He is really sick. But that's what his God does. Muhammad, he was the same way. He was a pedophile. How many of you ever read near-death experiences where some of these Muslims went to hell And they saw Muhammad down there in a pool of fire. I've seen a couple of them go down there and they see the, well, what's he doing here? He doesn't belong here. He belongs in heaven, you know? And the Lord has to explain to him, no, he belongs right there. Boy, I ain't getting much reaction here. All right, go ahead, Missy. I'll get you first, and I'll get you next, Pat.
I'm just gonna basically make a confession of faith of what I've been believing for. And as a prayer or confession, whatever. Anyway, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that my husband and I are equally yoked, and that my husband is in the bride, and it doesn't matter what I see, there's nothing impossible for you. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. I call the things that are not as though they were. I walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. And I hold fast the confession of my hope unto the end that it waver not, for you are faithful, Lord, that promised, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it is so, Lord, and that my husband is a mighty man of God, and that we are a force to be reckoned with, and our marriage is a marriage that is an example of Christ in the church. It's a marriage that glorifies you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that my husband has come out from among them, and he loves your word with all his heart, and he loves you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength as well as I do. We are one in every way, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that Merle is coming out of that garbage. In Jesus' name, he's going to come out and have a good time with you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you take your hand down?
No, I
Okay.
didn't never put it up.
Oh, who was it?
But I'll take the floor. Thank you, Lord, for your work in this nation. And Lord, we'd ask you to open up the eyes of those in the public that need to see the example of where socialism leads. I know, Lord, we think in, kind of in terms of it's common sense, but our nation has been re-educated for the last 50 years, and we have grown. We have grown in acceptance because of our laziness, our being used to the, I guess, the good life, or the the thinking that these things will not come to our nation. We are a people that are living in ease, and to a major degree, living in ignorance. And, Father, you said in the word, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that is lack of your knowledge of the truth. The truth that sets people free. And so, Lord, we look upon the, you tell us to look upon the fields for the white to harvest even now. And we just ask, Lord, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit to reach out and to speak out as you would lead us, and to look for those opportunities to give out your word, give out your truth, even in the midst of this disheveled United States, that there's such a time as this that people are in our government that we have allowed in, that are either massively ignorant of truth and logic, or they are being bribed to be so, one or the other, or a multitude of other reasons. But Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon this nation, though we do not deserve it, but that you would have mercy upon those that want to hear your word, that want to know the truth, and that you would bless them with a people to speak forth the reality of your gospel and the power of your gospel. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit and granting us grace to be your hands and your feet in this earth today. And we just commit ourselves, I commit myself, to doing exactly that and speaking forth your word, and ask you for boldness, and ask you for a fullness of the Holy Spirit, and ask you for a command, and agree with you, Lord, and command these bondages of whether it be double-mindedness, or living in ease, or whatever it would be, Lord, idolatry. Just cast these things off, confess them as sin, and cast them off, and ask for your blessing upon us, Lord, to walk in the straight, narrow, in the truth, stand against all evil, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And let your word be true, and every other man a liar, to be of doubtful. Well, we just trust you, Lord, that you are true in your word, and we stand upon your word, and we thank you for it. Just bless this nation with the revival that we're looking for, that we desire to see come. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us, your covering over all of us, God. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of us. I plead the blood of Jesus over our homes, our families, our neighborhoods, and the cities we live in, and the countries that we live in, God. I praise you, God, that we can take authority over the power of the enemy. And you give us that sword of the Spirit, and you give us all the armor, and you give us faith, and you give us your word. I thank you, Lord, you watch over your word to perform it. As we speak it, the angels go forth and do it. We recently, well, I recently got a email today from our property management that there was graffiti done on the, I guess it was, I don't know, on the front building, or if it was just on the walls. Outside, but anyhow, I don't know what that graffiti was all about, Lord, but you do. And I pray in the name of Jesus right now that if the people who did it, that they are they are caught and apprehended. And I command the angels to help law enforcement, that they need to do their job. I know they're sometimes spread pretty thin, Lord, and they got a lot of work to do, and they have priorities, and they can't be everywhere. But I thank you, Lord, that the angels are protecting our neighborhoods. And I thank you, Father, that this graffiti and who's ever doing it, this gang related, angels drive these gangs out of the area. In the authority of the Lord Jesus, I command it to be so. And I thank you, Lord, that you would bless whoever it is that has to clean up that graffiti, paint over it, or whatever they have to do, that it's not going to happen again. In the name of Jesus. As long as I'm living here, Lord, it's a safe place. And I thank you for keeping that that way and keeping it cleaned up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else want to pray and believe with us? We'll believe with you. Thank you, Lord, that them graffiti guys are caught, or gals, ever what they are.
We pray for their repentance of any elect among them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Joe.
I put a prayer request in the chat, Michael.
Okay.
Already put it in.
Let's see what it says here.
Thank you.
I do have a prayer request. I met Wimpy yesterday. That's the guy with the most likes of hamburgers, ain't it? Wimpy yesterday. His wife kicked him out of the house, and I shared the gospel with him and then prayed for the restoration of their marriage. He is a Christian, not baptized yet? Question mark. They have been separated for a while from table and bed. His wife's name is Karen. Thank you, Michael. Okay. That's a fitting name. Okay, here we go. We're going to pray for these two. Lord, we lift up Wimpy and Karen to you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that before we pray, you've already started in on them and bringing them to each other. And we come against this divisive spirit, this factious spirit that has broken them apart in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that your angels are there ministering to both of them, Wimpy and Karen. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to reestablish a love that they once had. And it's going to be better than ever because you're going to be between them. And Father, I praise you and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I think he said they were both Christians. I can't see. There's something up there holding, blocking it. He is a Christian, not baptized yet. He doesn't know. They have been separated for. All right, Lord, we just thank you for doing a fine work in them, both of them, bringing them into the kingdom, baptizing them in the Holy Ghost. And not only that, Lord, placing love in our heart for each other again. And we praise you. And we come against the enemy that has sown this faction upon them in Jesus' name. And we break that power and command it off of them. Faction, you go from them right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you have reestablished that love that they once had. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bring them into the to this relationship again because of you. And you're going to be the one that's between them, which also is your love that you'll bring them together. And I praise you and thank you for doing that for Wimpy and Karen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're going to see the good testimony that Joe's going to bring back about these two. In Jesus' name. Devil, get your hand off this marriage in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Father, that they're going to once again see that love that they had for one another and reestablish it in Jesus' name. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Jesus. All right, Wimpy.
Thank you.
Go
Thank
for
you,
it, brother.
Michael.
All right. That's the first time I've seen a guy named Wimpy outside the cartoon. Is that a common name where you are, Joe?
Yeah, it is Michael.
Okay.
It's Afrikaans name.
Ah, okay. I ain't gonna say no more. All right, who's next? Well, we're out of time. Nobody's next. Go ahead, Julie. We'll get you.
Well, I was just going to add on a little bit to your prayer that you prayed for Wimpy and Karen. Lord, we
All
bless
right.
them, Lord, and we know that repentance comes from you. And we ask, God, that you will work in both their hearts, soften their hearts,
Amen.
remove any pride and self-righteousness and hurt feelings. And if people, if they said words, Lord, that they would regret saying those words, and that you're already working, as Michael prayed, Lord. And we break off any word curses spoken against each other, any just hurtful things, pride, and if there's any Jezebel, Ahab spirits going on there in that marriage, we bind them in the name of Jesus, and we command you to loose your grip in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for restoring everything that the enemy has stolen from their marriage and making it whole and making it strong. And that you are working in their hearts, and as Michael prayed, they're coming into the kingdom, and they're going to understand the gospel. They're going to understand the power of their unity and what their marriage is about. And we just bind up the attacks of the enemy against family and against marriages in Jesus' name, as a whole. We bind it and cast it down. We command failure to all of the devil's plans to destroy the family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, all right, folks, we're out of time. Bless you.